This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067 is winning two tickets to see the Capitals open their season against the Devils Saturday, October 12th, Capital One Arena. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to 1067thefan.com. The show is brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament and set up a trust for you or your family. Schedule a free consultation with them right now. KMLawyers.com is where you can go to do that. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a nice discount. KMLawyers.com. Every day at 4, our Beltway Blitz. Let's spin you around town. We start on the gridiron with our guy, Mike Jones of The Athletic. Mike, Thursday night football tonight, NFC South in the spotlight. The Falcons host the Bucks. What's your feel going in?
You know, this is going to be a really good game, I feel like, because you know, the Bucks obviously, they look like they're the best team in this division so far. But the Falcons have had two games now that Kirk Cousins has led them to game-winning drives. This is why they went out and got him. I still think they're kind of working out some more kinks, so they're not quite as far along as what the Bucks are, but they're at home. So I'm expecting to see a pretty close game.
Mike, you know this guy, some idiot who co-hosted with Grant Paulson in the afternoons on 106.7 The Fan, thought that Miami would be pretty good this year. With or without Tua, they have not looked that way. I mean, is their season about to slip away here? How important is this weekend for them?
Oh, it's extremely important, but I don't think that the hopes, the prospects, they're not too good for them. You know, again, you're right. Tua didn't look great, but also he didn't have a real preseason. So I give guys a little bit of wiggle room in those first two, three, you know, even 4 weeks. But you don't know when he's coming back now. And, you know, as the old saying goes, it gets late early. And so, yeah, I thought that they were going to contend for this divisional title. But it looks like, you know, and Mike McDaniel's good, but Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley ain't it.
No, they're clearly not. It's amazing to me they didn't have a better plan with Tua's.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's on Chris Greer.
Totally. How about that division, though? The Bills were rolling until they ran into Baltimore. The Jets have not looked really great yet, but they're fine, I guess. How do you see the AFC East?
I think it's going to come down to the Bills winning that thing because, look, the Patriots are rebuilding. They aren't close. The Dolphins, you know, I mean, short of a miracle, they're not going to turn this thing around. And if Tua gets back, you know, they still might be in too big a hole to climb their way out of that. I don't believe in the Jets. They got too much going on. There's already frictions. You know, you got Salah saying that, you know, maybe Rodgers needs to scale back on his hard counts, and Rodgers is saying they need to hold people accountable. Look, this is only like week three and week four that you've got frictions between your head coach and this quarterback. This thing isn't going to end well.
Detroit finally looked like Detroit to me this past week against Seattle. They, you know, they won a strange game against Arizona where they were the better team, but didn't really thump the Cardinals the way some other teams did. I can't remember who just beat them this past weekend really soundly. But anyway, it'll come to me. But they were the better team against Tampa Bay, found a way to lose. Now it looked like they got some momentum going, but of course they got their bye week. Is this still the, you know, prime contender in the NFC here, or are they maybe closer to the pack than we thought?
I don't know. That was a weird game. They won on Monday, but they got outgained like 500 and something.
That's
to 300 and something. You know, they got dominated in the time of possession. They got, you know, I don't want to say lucky, but two turnovers definitely helped them. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not convinced that they are the team in the NFC. I think they are a team that can make things interesting. But look, we don't know if they're even going to win their division because Brian Flores is cooking on defense and Sam Darnold looks amazing. Kevin O'Connell has been in the lab. So it could, you know, and don't forget Green Bay. So this isn't going to be a runaway from the division for Detroit.
So who are better teams that you would say right now are as good or better than the Lions in the NFC?
Well, I think the Packers can be. You know, again, Minnesota could be. We'll see if San Francisco can get healthy, then they would be. It's still really early. So to say, like, right now, who's better than them? Not a whole lot. But by the end of the season, you could have some company there in the NFC.
Totally. Are you buying the Vikings?
I am because of their defense. And also, they run the football. They understand how to take care of their quarterback and position them for success. So, look, when you championship teams need a defense that can get after you and force turnovers, and that's what Brian Flores is doing. I didn't think this was going to be the case, you know, coming into the season, but I think the Vikings do have a chance.
Does Cincinnati get going, or are they kind of on a sinking ship?
No, because every year we feel like it's going to be too late. I think they will get going. They've got to figure out their run game because, you know, that's they're missing Joe Mixon. But they still have Joe Burrow. They've got, you know, T. Higgins is going to be rounding into form, Jamar Chase. And so I think that they're going to be, you know, by the end of the season, they're going to be okay. They're going to be contending for, you know, a playoff spot. In that division there, I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh comes back down to earth and it's Baltimore and Cincinnati duking it out for that.
Last one before we hop to the locals and the Commanders. Is Doug Peterson's seat hot or just warming at this point? They're 0-4, the only team that hasn't won. He had a terrible press conference where he called players out this week.
Yeah, it's not good. He can thank his lucky stars that they're going to London for 2 weeks. So you're not going to fire your head coach as you're about to go to London for 2 weeks to be out of the country. But if they don't, you know, because they're at home this week and then London the next 2 weeks. If they don't come out of this thing with, you know, two wins out of these next three games, then, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it's remarkable to me. He continues to defend Press Taylor, who has not proven that he knows anything about being an offensive coordinator. There are people who criticized him in Philly. He's here. He's still loyal to him. And, you know, this could be the undoing of Doug Peterson.
Mike, thank you as always, bud. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. I'll see you guys.
We'll see you, pal. Hit that local 53 sounder. Okay, Mitch Tischler's going to talk about that local foosball team. Mitch, when is it okay for fans who are a little bit scarred, a little bit scared, a little bit, I don't know, afraid to commit because every time they've believed for a microsecond, they've been beaten to a bloody pulp. When is it okay for them to puff their chest out and say, we're for real?
I mean, I think you got to say right now, you know, sometimes you got to jump back up on that horse that bucked you off and ride that thing. And right now that horse is sprinting like we've never seen before here in Washington. This offense is humming. They're winning football games. They're blowing teams out. I mean, I think you got to be excited right now. And if not now, when?
Jaden Daniels was taken second. He won a Heisman Trophy. The fact that he's playing at a high level isn't shocking. I don't know that many people, though, that thought Cliff Kingsbury's offense or Kingsbury himself calling plays would be operating at this level and this extent. What have you made of him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done an incredible job. I think he's seen an offense as attacking teams on multiple different levels, and he's being creative about it. I mean, think back to week one. You had the double pass with Luke McCaffrey. You had the touchdown pass to offensive lineman Trent Scott. One play that I loved of this week, of last week's game against the Cardinals, third down at the end of the game, Olamide Zaccheaus was lined up outside. He motioned to his backfield on the snap. He then turned on a dime and went right back to where he was, threw a little flare out to the right, and he got 8 yards and a first down. I think he's shown a lot of creativity. I think, you know, it helps that Jaden Daniels is just blossoming at an incredible rate and improving week to week more than I think any of us ever really thought that he would. And he's given them a lot of options, and Brian Robinson is running the heck out of the football. I mean, this thing is running like a well-oiled machine.
Is Ben Sinnott's role going to start to increase here over time, do you think?
I think he's going to be on the field a fair amount. I mean, listen, one of the things that's been most impressive to me about this offense, particularly in the running game, has been the buy-in from non-offensive linemen. You know, on the Jeremy McNichols touchdown, Terry McLaurin was one of the lead blockers. Ben Sinnott was driving a DB back into the end zone for the second time in 4 weeks on a long run. You're seeing the wide receivers, the tight ends, the running backs stepping up and doing every part of this, doing everything that's being asked of them. And Ben Sinnott's been one of those guys that hasn't caught a lot of footballs. He hasn't been prominent in the passing game, but he has been a big deal in the run game. He has stepped up and he's been, you know, everything that John Bates was kind of last year for this team. Having the two of those guys be, you know, almost honorary offensive linemen and doing the little things that they're doing, the coaching staff loves it, and it's only going to help them stay on the field more.
Yeah, no catches, and I don't even think he's been targeted at this point, but he's been running free a couple times occasionally. You're going to see him get the ball eventually, obviously. Hey, what's the latest with Brian Robinson? You mentioned all the success he's having. He has not practiced this week. Are we sure he's going to play on Sunday?
You know, no, I don't think we're sure about it. You saw him, you know, a little hobbled at the end of that Cardinals game. Didn't really make a whole lot of it because they still were moving the ball. But not practicing twice this week doesn't bode particularly well. However, this is a team that has, you know, there is a toll on the body between the flight from Cincinnati to Arizona, spending the week out there, you know, different time zones, all the things that they're dealing with. The guys are going to be a little nicked up. As you know, Grant, Friday's practice is going to be the one that's going to tell us. If he doesn't practice on Friday, doubtful that he plays on Sunday. And this is a Browns defense that has the propensity to get gashed in the run game. Last week, the Raiders were averaging 50 yards a game heading into the game. They ran for a 150 in it. So all thoughts are that if Brian Robinson is healthy and able to go, this should be a big week for him.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that, Mitch. This is, you know, the week one results. I don't want to say you throw them out, but there's kind of a grain of salt with that because weird stuff happens in week one just because the way the preseasons are handled, et cetera. They got destroyed by Dallas. It wasn't even as close as the score indicated. Since then, that defense has been pretty damn good. The caveat to that is they've played three offenses that I think the three of us could stop. So how true a test is this? Given past performance, you'd feel like Cleveland's defense is pretty good, and this will kind of go a long way to validating. What do you think? What's a fair expectation this weekend against what we think is a good Cleveland D?
Yeah, I mean, this will be the best defense that the Commanders have played against. Maybe the Bucs are close to it, but now that we're 4 weeks in, you have a little bit more data on them. And the Browns do a pretty good job. I mean, their secondary is full of big names across the board and guys that, you know, you wouldn't love to see lined up across from your number one receiver, whether you're talking about Denzel Ward or Grant Delpit. You know, there's a bunch of big names back there. But I think it all starts up front. Myles Garrett is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Maybe T.J. Watt is the best, and he's number two. And it's going to come down to whether they can protect Jaden Daniels. And, you know, this left tackle group, the left side of the offensive line, did a really good job 2 weeks ago against Trey Hendrickson, who finished second in the NFL in sacks last year. They didn't need a ton of help over there, and they were able to do it. However, Myles Garrett's a different beast. And, you know, he's played Washington twice in his career. He has 3.5 sacks and a forced fumble in those two games. That guy is a monster, and it's going to be incumbent on, you know, that Cornelius Lucas, Brandon Coleman duo to do well out there, and also for Jaden to have his ears up and be ready to run at any moment, because as much as, you know, Myles Garrett isn't practicing this week, he didn't practice last week either. stepped out there, had two sacks of Gardner Minshew. So, I mean, this guy is an elite player and someone that they have to account for.
Yeah, four sacks through 4 weeks, had a sack in each of the first two games, and then the two in week four, as Mitch said. Mitch, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Hey, I had one thing real quick for Danny because it just strikes close to my heart.
Last block,
you guys were talking about the pancakes. Have you ever heard of the idea of a buffer pancake? So you and the boys each get the pancakes you want, then just get a short stack of chocolate chip pancakes, and everyone gets a little bit of it, and everyone's happy.
That is a move.
Now, Mitch, what usually that requires is a consensus. So it was super rare that we had anybody that's on the same page. You know, it's usually like, I don't even want to be here, or some other kind of temper tantrum or whatever. But yes, if everybody's on board and we're all going all in on pancake, that was certainly an option. We went with the biscuits and gravy as something that everybody wanted to sample as well, as kind of our appetizer or extra side, if you will. But I love that idea, and it's a good one.
Listen, you're the dad. You got to assert dominance from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, in the pancake ordering, that's the time.
That's it.
Call your
shot. I think
you're
right. Yep, I think you're right.
Thank you, Mitch, and good insight. That's very, very sharp from our guy, Mitch Tischler, throwing back to your pancake conversation.
Asserting dominance is the way to phrase it,
but to be clear, though, he's talking about, I don't think you have to be in agreement on anything. All three of you get your own stack of pancakes. All you're sharing is the chocolate chip pancake.
Exactly right. So pre-sharing, of course, is fine. The plan sharing is fine. The audible reach over to my plate and steal from me is, of course, wrong. No one should share food.
Not allowed to do that.
Right. That's a no from me, dog. But the individual stack in the middle, we all had more than enough pancake. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't an issue of pancake quantity. It's just I happened to be able to sample all three. We all got what we wanted.
But he's just saying if that's too much for you, it's too rich, then just have a taste. You all get a little taste, and then you get your blueberry, as
right.
it were,
mm-hmm.
as what you're majoring in, you're minoring
totally.
In the chocolate chip pancake. Pickleball did not come up in today's Beltway Blitz. I don't know why. Normally it does. But do you know this, Danny, that there's going to be a pickleball movie coming out?
Oh, I know. I've got. By the way, branding is so great. I've been sent that no fewer than 50 times by various people.
Yeah. Former American tennis champion Andy Roddick is teaming up with Ben Stiller for a new pickleball comedy. It's called The Dink.
Mm-hmm.
Is dink like a shot?
Yes.
Okay, what is a dink?
A dink is up close to the net where it doesn't bounce very high. So in other words, remember when we were playing in Cincinnati, if somebody bounces up high, you can hit it really hard at someone.
Correct.
It makes sense. So what you want in a dink is a shot that goes over to the other side stays low, and you got to return it as such
to make them move to get them flying.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So the moves that I would do, if you remember, you get someone moving, you get them reaching, then you get a pop up, and my guy Grant is smacking it off people.
The comedy will focus on a washed up tennis pro attempting to save the club by reluctantly playing pickleball to earn his father's respect, according to IMDb. This feels very dodgeball-y.
I was going
to
say,
for Ben Stiller.
The formula works, the machine works, so let's go.
Actor Jake Johnson, who, by the way, I love, he's from New Girl.
He's hilarious.
He is. He's one of my favorite guys.
Very dry sense of humor.
He's going to play the role of the tennis pro, Mary Steenburgen. Do you know her?
Yeah, she's famous. She's been in stuff.
Who's she?
I think she's the mom in Step Brothers.
No.
Yeah.
I thought I would have known her name if you said it. You're definitely right. That's exactly who that is.
Mm-hmm.
The mom from Step Brothers and Ed Harris are part of the cast. Ed Harris is a stud, too. This is going to be good.
Ed Harris, this is a little bit beneath Ed Harris.
That's fine. Like... I agree. But Ben Stiller's involved. He's like, why not?
Yeah.
Let's do this thing. We were just, you and I, talking about how there has not been a good comedy in a long, long time.
I hope they get it right.
And I'm not suggesting this will be the next great comedy, because comedies don't get made because everyone's afraid to make jokes and everyone's afraid to do a lot of the stuff that was considered hilarious when you and I were watching comedies with everybody else 15 years ago in the theater. Nobody's even trying anymore. Will Ferrell, I saw talking about this recently. He's like, yeah, I don't get scripts to look at anymore. Nobody wants to do any of the stuff that's funny. So we'll see what happens with this movie. But I love the idea of the premise of pickleball, former tennis star, basically redoing dodgeball, sounds like. Sign me up. I'm in.
The premise is so correct. Because that's pretty on point, too. Right? It's like, I need something to do. Let me try that. I failed at other sports. Or I'm too old or too bad to play the real competitive thing. So let me go to pickle.
And where's Ben Stiller been, anyway? I haven't seen him in years. He has taken some time away from the game, I feel like.
I feel like it's probably like 7 animated things that I didn't see.
I'm sure.
Or some other kind of deal.
He hasn't really done a true movie in a long, long time.
That's what it feels like.
Maybe he's just been busy crushing this script. Maybe we're going to have a masterpiece here on our hands.
I'll take it.
a comedic gem we've been waiting for.
It's required viewing for all the picklers.
What is the NFL doing with these wacky celebration flags? We'll get into that as the show continues. But next, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders face a top half of the league defense statistically for the first time all season when they play the Browns on Sunday. What should we expect from this elite offense? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Keep improving, finding little ways to keep growing. I wouldn't say it's a finished product, but, you know, it's just a start. And I mean, I don't really look at everything that people talk about. I mean, I see it, but other than that, man, none of that matters. That was last week's stuff. You're only as good as the last game you played, and everybody's going to look at what can you do the week prior, and the weeks after that.
That's Jaden Daniels. Commanders getting ready to try to get to 4-1 over at Northwest Stadium. Welcome back. Chance to hang out with us tomorrow. Show's on the road.
We are going to be out and about. We're broadcasting live from Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria, 2429 Mandeville Lane. Stop by and check out Atlas's 15 taps, dozens of TVs, plus delicious pizza and wings. 2 p.m. to 6:30, that's when the show is. The new Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria. For more info, thefandc.com.
There's this idea that the Browns are good defensively. There's this idea that this is the best defense Washington has played, and statistically that's certainly the case. And maybe this will be the first true test for this offense. Before we get into the what are you expecting from the offense against the Browns, I actually do want to have the conversation. How good is Cleveland's defense? Because in week one, Danny, they played the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, and they did not play well. But week one, you're sorting some things out. I think you can kind of dismiss results largely all over the league. Since then, though, over 3 weeks, they've actually been statistically sufficient and outstanding. The problem is they've played really, really bad quarterbacks. They have played recently, this past week, Gardner Minshew, who went 14 of 24 for 130 yards. They held him to a rating of 73, did a really, really good job. As good a game as that is, though, Danny, I'm not overly impressed by
that. Which I get. I mean, the context always matters. So this is based on a couple things to me. Number one,
let me go through the other.
Oh, please go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
The Giants, 21-15, a final where they lost to Daniel Jones in New York. Jones was good, two touchdowns, no picks, threw for 235. And then the other quarterback in the three-game stretch was Trevor Lawrence, which sounds like it's a challenge, except that Lawrence has actually been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league this year. And in that game, he fed more incompletions, 16, than completions, 14. So I say all that to say, they've played three bad quarterbacks in 4 weeks. Yes, they're ranked ninth defensively. Yes, they're ranked eighth against the pass. But I am not convinced that the Browns' defense is who we all kind of thought it was going to be.
Right, so the thought it was going to be is the key. That's where I was going. I didn't mean to cut you off earlier. Last year led the league in yards per play. Last year were second best to a historically great Ravens defense in terms of net yards per pass attempt. Right, they were excellent against the pass. Excellent in yards per play, ended up being pretty good in scoring defense because they had some short fields against them because their offense was pretty terrible. Their quarterback stunk. But that defense hunted. They're really, really good on that side of the ball. And when good results happen, when you've got expectations, you go, okay, that fits the narrative, right? I know, and your point is dead right. Each year is so different. We always kind of seem stunned and surprised that year over year with all the turnover and all the different changes that happen in the league, that results may vary. On paper, we think of it, this is one of the great defensive groups in the league, because last year they were, and now you've got 3 out of 4 weeks, with the first week probably the sample size you throw out like the Russian judge, where you'd go, yeah, this is a really good defense. The argument against is what you just said. They haven't played anybody whose offense is clicking or worth a damn.
They finished tied for number one in yards per play last year with the Jets at 4.57. They were number two defensively in yards per play in the passing game. They were really good. They were also top three last year. These are last year's numbers again. Mm-hmm. In picking off passes about 3.5% of the time. And they were sixth in sacks per pass attempt. They're always going to be okay in that stat because of Myles Garrett.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
They got a DPOY candidate. They were the number one defense in the league at not allowing you to stay on the field and basically move the chains. They were the lowest first down team allowed in the league, 14.9. Again, now this is all last year. It's been very different, but they were the number one third down defense in the NFL. Right now, Washington's the number one third down offense in the NFL, over 50%. So if you look at the more relevant 2024 stats, albeit in a smaller sample for Cleveland, what you see for them defensively is number eight overall, number eight against the pass. They are not picking off any passes. They don't have one interception through four games. That's kind of weird, considering the quarterbacks they've played.
Extremely.
For a team that picked passes off.
And for a team that you know is going to pressure. I mean, that hurried throw, that high throw because someone's about to hit you. That hasn't happened.
They haven't been that good at pressuring.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett has 4 sacks. They don't have much else to speak of outside of that. They're outside of the top 10, tied for 11th in sacks per pass attempt. On third down, where, as I said, last year they were right up at the top of the NFL, number one. This year, the Cleveland Browns on third down, 7th, doing a pretty good job. So I think it is a better test for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be more revealing than playing the Bengals, who had been struggling, the Giants, who haven't been very good. But I'm not willing to say yet that this is the end-all, be-all. Like, the example I'd give you is if Washington this week was playing against the Broncos defense, which has been phenomenal, or even the Jets, or maybe the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those defenses I know are really, really good. I'm not sure yet if the Browns have just benefited from schedule.
So I think the Browns defense is good, but I don't know. Is that a good way to put it? Like,
yeah.
That's my hypothesis. Now, let's say Washington does whatever the hell they want this weekend, just like they did to Arizona, and frankly, like they did to Cincinnati, and Cleveland then goes on to have a good defensive season after that, I'll go, man, how validating is that? Like, if we look back a month from now at what Cleveland does post-Washington, or if they go on and play well against Washington defensively and then kind of continue on this track, I'll go, okay, yeah, this defense is frail just like they were last year with a lot of the same personnel, a lot of the same schemes, designs, et cetera, and now they're hitting the ground running. So my hypothesis is that this is still a really good defensive group that hasn't put it all together just yet in terms of the sacks and the pressures and the turnovers. But those things are coming because that's like waves crashing on a shore.
You know, it's a little bit hard for me to unsee, too, from just a couple weekends ago. Malik Nabers destroyed them.
Torched them.
The catches and yards weren't that great, but he had two amazing touchdown catches. And again, Daniel Jones was just super effective. I'll tell you where they've been really good, though, is the running game. They have basically taken your best running back out of the game, whoever that is for a given team. Travis Etienne had right around 50 yards on just under 15 carries for the Jaguars. Devin Singletary had a 16-carry, 65-yard game. I'm not telling you it's nothing, but you don't rip off the 30-yard.
Mm-hmm.
This past week against the Raiders, Alex Mattison, who's the second back, and this has been a theme, actually had a big home run, and they've given some things up to like secondary change of pace backs. But if you actually look at the Raiders' thumpers, Zamir White, he averaged 2.9 a pop, 17 for 50. So it's almost like they key in on Brian Robinson, who, by the way, isn't practicing again today and is very much in question, I would say, right now. And then maybe it's where Eckler can hit him on a third and passing, or mm-hmm. you might get, if Eckler is the starting running back in this game and he and McNichols split time, maybe they really focus it on Eckler and McNichols is the guy. But it's been down the depth chart backs that have actually made some of the bigger plays against them, and they've done a really good job keying in on starting running backs.
Yeah, so they're down in, down out yards per attempt allowed isn't particularly impressive, but I think you've hit it really well. It's diving into those numbers and how we got there. There have been some runs ripped off against them, but it's usually, I don't know if it's like the third and give up, like that old Chris Thompson draw play where they go, ah, we're not getting this. Let's give this guy, you know, 8-9 yards and then give Tressway some room to punt. They've given up some yards, but down in, down out on the we think you're running, you want to run, let's have at it, they've been excellent in that regard.
Also, the injury report for both teams looks like a Cinderella to-do list. I mean, there are ridiculous number of injuries for both clubs. Now, most of the Browns, I will say, that are listed are limited in practice and probably end up playing. There's very few guys that just flat out are not practicing, but they have a starting linebacker right now with ribs, elbow, triceps, not practicing. They have a starting defensive end right now with an illness who has not been practicing. They have David Njoku with the ankle, did not practice. So they're super banged up coming into this game. I don't know that we could say a whole lot better about Washington. Nick Allegretti was limited yesterday. Noah Brown didn't practice yesterday. Brian Robinson still wasn't practicing today. So that's also part of this. We're getting to the point of the season for the first time where the Commanders aren't going to quite be at 100% from a personnel standpoint.
Yeah,
maybe,
nobody is, right?
But neither is the opponent. Where for the first few weeks, it seemed like, especially in Washington's case, they had their full allotment available. And maybe Allegretti goes, Noah Brown goes, Robinson goes, and it's no harm, no foul. But the missed practice time does add up. That does matter.
Oh, it totally does, especially when this is new, right? You're still trying to make this stuff second nature,
well,
new scheme,
to
new
stay
design,
ahead
new staff.
Of a defense.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like wrinkles, man. Like,
that's what
the
I mean.
Browns now have a month to watch and study, and okay, here's where we're going to stop them. And you know what Cliff Kingsbury is doing this week? Is staying one step ahead by implementing new things so that when they stop the thing from last week, Washington's new thing works.
Yeah, we already have a counter to it, right? Yeah, so I'm still thinking of this as the best defense they've played so far. I'm thinking of this as the best defense they'll play until they have some of those other teams that you mentioned on their schedule. Baltimore's defense, Pittsburgh, and maybe a couple others. So this will be a really interesting test. Again, this is the first time they've dealt with a pass rusher like this in Myles Garrett, assuming that he plays, assuming that he goes. So I'm really curious to see what the plan is. I'm curious to see how they handle it, right? Is this one of those, no, we're confident, we'll let Lucas and Coleman just play football against him? Maybe a mistake, but let's see. Is it, we might have to sacrifice some things, and early on in the game, just say for the sake of argument, think about the old Joe Gibbs way. We're going to run at this defensive end all the time. Even if it means he stops us for a loss, stops us for one, stops us for two, we make that guy pursue and tackle for huge chunks of the game. Then maybe you tire him out a little bit when you want to drop back and pass. He didn't have the same juice. We chip him. We bother him every play. Maybe that's the way. I'm fascinated to see what they do.
On the other side of the ball, this should be a week where the defense is able to string a second straight quality performance together. Because the Browns offensively, and particularly at the quarterback position with Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. have just not played very well.
They have good weapons, but that doesn't matter.
No, it hasn't mattered at all. I mean, they have not been able to move the football consistently or score. I think this is the best defense they're playing too, although with all the time to prepare and the great design and calling of Todd Bowles, maybe I'd give Tampa Bay a slight nod just because of the extra time going into week one, maybe. But I want to open up the phones on this for you guys at 800-636-1067. Do you consider this to be a big-time test for this offense that all of a sudden is the talk of the NFL? And do you feel like this is a potential regression spot? Or do you think they can keep the train on the tracks here and continue to move the ball the way that they have? MGM National Harbor listener lines available at 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny, the Orioles lost their 10th consecutive playoff game yesterday at Camden Yards. They lose to the Royals. They got swept out of the wild card round in two straight games. I saw Nats fans were taking great pride in trolling on social media.
I guess.
I get the geographical rivalry, I really do, but I will never understand. I don't know, like O's fans, I grew up a diehard Orioles fan myself. The Nats weren't around like so many people my age and older. But they're all around us. Like, they're your buddies. They're on your text chain. I've never really understood the Nats fans who take great pride in the Orioles losing or vice versa. They're two different leagues that they're completely harmless in so many ways. So, like, for me personally, with the Nats out, I wanted to see the O's go on a run. They haven't won a World Series since 83. I have so many amazing memories from my childhood at Camden Yards. I got family members that are still diehard Orioles fans. But it was funny to see last night all of the glee being taken within the Nats fan base that they lost.
Yeah, so which again, I'm with you. I understand it too. I think I understand more than you that the dynamic and how unusual it is, and how, you know, there's a resentment that I think has always come from Baltimore towards Washington. Then you add in this carve out, because you already mentioned it. Neighbors are Orioles fans. You know, like the guy across the street from you was in Baltimore's territory. Now there's a team of our own in Washington, and everyone must choose one. I don't know. I mean, to me, if Washington's competing and the Orioles are competing, I get a lot more anxiety about it. But it's like, I'm not really worried about the fact that I got a 91 loss team right down the street from me. You know, if the Orioles win, lose, or draw, it's fine. I didn't take as much glee or pride as I think maybe a lot of Nats fans did.
There's been a lot of talk about realignment in Major League Baseball, though, and this idea that they'll add a team and they'll get to essentially be a point where they're going to realign the divisions. And it's almost a certainty if and when that happens. And it might be 5 years away. It might be longer. Most people are predicting that in the next handful of years, something like this will take place. The Nats and the O's would be in the same division almost certainly.
Yeah.
And when that happens, now we got ourselves a situation. Now that's a development.
What would be the new, if you had to guess, I mean, obviously this is impossible. What would be the new division? Let's say there'd be what, five teams?
Yeah, I think it would be potentially something like Yankees, Mets, Orioles, Nationals.
Phillies, right there?
Probably Phillies, yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, you could do like a Northeast, honestly, where the Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Red Sox, Toronto or something are all together. And then maybe the Orioles luck out. The Nats and the Orioles both luck out. And it's like O's, Nats, and you get the Marlins. Maybe the Braves are in there.
Well, I was going to say, what about like a Mid-Atlantic division? So it's Nats, Orioles.
Pirates.
Phillies, Pirates.
Love it.
And then maybe, I don't know who the fifth team would be. Then you have like a Southeast one, which is like Marlins, Braves, you know, teams down in that general direction. I don't know.
I just know that when it was done, I could pull up the divisions. Jim Bowden actually at one point for The Athletic did the realignment, but he had the O's and the Nats together. And it was like, yeah, that's such a no-brainer. Because the idea is with a lot of these geographies where they were in different leagues, think about like the A's and the Giants. Although now that they're going from Oakland to Vegas, it'd be different. But the Angels and the Dodgers, like
such a huge deal when they played each other. Yeah,
it's the all of those cross-town rivalries. If they're in the same division, I mean that's just good for sports.
Do you not think that the Orioles rivalries with, say, the Yankees and the Red Sox is something that they wouldn't want to touch?
Well, if you're realigning, then you're touching it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Then you shouldn't realign. Like, that's what it's basically the conference thing with college football, in my opinion. So, in other words, with college football, if you wanted Maryland to keep playing Duke in North Carolina, they got to stay in the ACC. Now, that wasn't necessarily conference realignment as much as it was Maryland jumping. But Maryland can't have it both ways, right? Where they're like, we want the money of the Big Ten, but also we need our rivalries. I think if baseball wants the rivalries to remain the same in the division, then you don't realign. If you're realigning, it's like the NFL. We don't think about it anymore. But when the Colts used to be in the different AFC division with different, you know, the AFC South wasn't a thing yet and the Cardinals were in the NFC East. I just think it's new rivalries probably that are created.
Or you keep a carve out for the special ones. Like, with all due respect to these franchises, they've been good at various points. But like the Tampa and Blue Jays part of the AL East, not as sacred as that Yankees, Red Sox, Orioles thing.
Yeah, like right? Here's what I'll say for Darius's point. The Yankees and the Red Sox are never not going to be in the same division. Baseball would not do that to itself.
Right.
Are the Orioles and the Yankees such great rivals? Now, this could be sacrilege to some Orioles fan out there. But is that rivalry so good that they would have to be in the same division? They probably should be. It's what we know. But come on. Who's the Yankees' biggest rival? It's Boston, right?
Yeah, of course.
So could the Orioles be okay if now you're in a division with Washington instead and you don't have the Red Sox and the Yankees? And like you're saying, you got the Nats and the Pirates and maybe it's the Phillies right up 95. I mean, there's going to be quirky ones. It's just not going to work out that everyone's right next door. There's going to be some like Diamondbacks in the Central or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just making this up. It's like you'd have your sacred cutouts, right? Like in the Central, Cubs and Cardinals have to be in the same division. In the East, Mets and Phillies have to be in the same division. In the West, Padres, you know, maybe, or Dodgers, Giants have to be in the same one. That sort of thing where you keep a few sacreds and then you can kind of rearrange everybody else. I don't know if teams would get butt hurt or owners would get butt hurt by that or fan bases would, but I would do that.
I didn't plan on doing this for the full segment, but it's fun. All right, so this was Jim Bowden wrote this for The Athletic in February of this past year, so coming up on a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he basically did the realignment for baseball. He said for the Eastern Conference, a la basketball and hockey, the East Division, Boston Red Sox, New York Mets and Yankees, and the Philadelphia Phillies. There's your East Division.
Mm-hmm.
The North Division in the Eastern Conference would be the Cincinnati Reds, Cleveland Guardians, Detroit Tigers, and Toronto Blue Jays. So you've got three from the Central,
okay,
and then the Blue Jays. The Mid-Atlantic Division, this is a little bit silly for the Washington Nationals. By the way, this is all based on an expansion team, and that's why they're realigning, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. So like his was the Baltimore Orioles, the Washington Nationals, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then the Charlotte expansion team.
The Charlotte expansions is the silly name.
Exactly. Southeast Division, Braves, Marlins, Rays, and the Nashville expansion team. Okay, so that's the two new teams because they're going 30 to 32. That's the whole, that was what this was based on, was that report. Western Conference in the Midwest, you go Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Twins. So the Twins essentially join the NL Central.
Yep.
Couple of teams with the White Sox. Then in the Southwest, you'd have the Astros, Royals, Cardinals and Texas Rangers, which I think works. In the Pacific, he says you've got the Rockies, the Las Vegas A's, the Seattle Mariners, and the San Francisco Giants. And then in the West, you've got the Diamondbacks, Angels, Dodgers, and Padres. So it actually kind of works out geographically really well, assuming that's where those two teams that are being thought about that are still a gleam in their parents' eye, so to speak.
Yeah, miss, like, there's just, I know it's not the same out here, but Dodgers, Giants being in different divisions, that's tough for me. That's
that
tough.
That one's hard?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are going to be a couple. I mean, I tried to catch them all as you're reading.
I think that one stands out more than others.
Yeah. I mean, just because the beat LA sort of vibe is has always been a thing. But that's fun. I like that.
What do we expect from Daniels and Washington's offense against the Browns? We'll get into that next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.